You know, the Bible is a story of people trying to find out God's will, right? You know, under the Old Covenant, people tried to make decisions seeking God. And, you know, there were various ways that they tried. It involved sometimes in the priesthood, the priest putting on an ephod over his chest with stones on it that were precious, representing the 12 tribes. But above them were two stones, the Urim and the Thummim. And it was those stones that the priest hoped that if they were doing everything right and they were seeking the Lord and they would go into the presence of the Lord, that one of them would glow to give them direction, you know. But it had to be just right. They had to be in tune with God. They had to be right with God. So even that wasn't foolproof. And you remember how you read about them casting lots in the Bible, how they used to cast lots. It's actually how the apostles picked Matthias to replace Judas because the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. And then, of course, there's the famous story of Gideon's fleece in the Bible, right? Putting out a fleece, we've all heard that expression. Even non-Christians have kind of heard that expression because it's become so infamous of a story when Gideon put out that wool fleece and asked God to make it wet and make it dry. and since then, you know, Christians even today have tried doing the same thing. Right? Putting out fleeces, so to speak. They might say something like, Lord, if you'll cause this person to propose marriage, then I'll know it's your will for me to marry them. And the trouble with that kind of a fleece is that the devil may inspire the wrong man to propose, right? So ladies, don't turn to your husband now and say the devil made you do it. Right? Do you remember I was telling Kim in prayer, do you remember those of you that are older, I won't say old, the crazy eight ball that you shook up, you know, and there's something appeared in the window that gave you guidance and direction. Well, you know, we have to be able to understand that God desires us to be led in a better way. Amen? In a better way. But today, as we open God's Word, I want you to understand that people really need, even Christians, strong Christians even, need more guidance and more instruction on how to hear from God and respond to Him. You know, I was talking in counseling one time to a woman who was in a very bad relationship with a married man. And you know, I really tried to counsel, but you know, she did that fleece thing. You know, she said, you know, I prayed to God and I asked me, you know, if He wanted me to see this man anymore. And you know what, Pastor? The next thing I knew, the phone rang right after I prayed, and it was him. And you know, but as silly as that sound, that's how some people think they're being led by God. And I got to tell you, there's been crazy things done with people saying that they were led by God. Amen? So how important is it to be able to be inspired, to be led, to be guided and directed by the Lord? How important is it? It's everything, isn't it? It really is. These last couple of grandkids that I've had, you know, when we buy toys for them, I look through, you know, the toy stores, and there's tons of these cars now that, you know, they go and they bump into a wall and then they just turn around and go the other way until they bump into something else and they turn around and go the other way. And, you know, I was thinking, that's kind of the way that many Christians are in regard to being led by God. It's kind of like the hit and miss method, right? That you go this way until you hit a dead end and then you turn around. It's kind of, understandably, the school of hard knocks. That's the way. But, you know, God doesn't want us to to continue to be led by the school of hard knocks. He wants us to be attending the school of the Holy Spirit. Can you receive that today? In the book of Hebrews, you know, it says, there's no discipline that seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So it is true that in the school of hard knocks, God loves you and disciplines you when you go the wrong way, turn you around. But that's not his preferred way. This scripture that I just read really is about us being trained so that we can be led by the Spirit, not by making mistakes, not by trial and error. Hey, you know, and I know, it's hard sometimes to be led by trial and error. It can hurt, right? There's an interesting passage in the book of Isaiah, and if you can bring it up on the screen, Doug, we'll read this in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 19. We'll read a couple of verses. It really is hearing God's heart for how he wanted to lead his people, but it wasn't really working at that time, and I'll tell you why in a second. But listen to this scripture, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19 through 21. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Right? Isaiah 30, verse 19 through 21. See, God led the Israelites in the Old Covenant through adversity and affliction. Right? That's the story of the Old Covenant. He has a better way planned for us. You know, maybe you've seen this. You know, maybe you have understood that God can lead you through the bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction. Meaning that, you know, he shows you when you're in those desert places, when you're in those times of trouble, that it's not the right place to be, and he turns you out of your misery, he turns you back onto the right path, right? That's what this scripture is saying. And, you know, you can be led that way, but God has a better way. God has a better way. He doesn't want you to stay in the school of hard knocks. That's for the immature. That's for the untrained, according to Hebrews. He wants you to literally learn from the school of the Holy Spirit. This is the voice that Old Testament passage was speaking about. This is the way, walk in it. The Holy Spirit is the teacher that will be hidden no more, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? I will send you the Spirit of truth and he will teach you, right? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the great teacher, has been sent to guide us, inspire us. He is the better way. One of the great benefits of our redemption, of our being made right with God through Christ, is the privilege of being led by the Spirit of God. Children of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's the title of this message, Expect to be Inspired. In this Great Expectation series, this is the message today. Expect to be inspired. Expect to be led. Expect to be guided by the Spirit of God. It's our greatest need, you know, to find the direction that leads us to the wisdom of God to make right decisions. Right? Don't you think your life would be much better if every decision you made would be based upon the leading and guidance of the Spirit of God? Huh? Rhetorical, right? Of course. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 says, I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Wisdom from God's inspiration brings all these wonderful fruits into your life. Inspired wisdom will keep you safe. from harm and injury. It will help you bring about the desired changes in your situations, in your life. It will bring the flow of God's blessings into your life. It will cause you to see the power of God in your life through the gifts of His Spirit. And all these fruits are born into your life from the wisdom that comes from being inspired by the Spirit of God. Right? Jesus said it. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak what He hears, and He will tell you even what is yet to come. Huh? How good is that? But now that we have set the stage for how important, how great it is, now let's talk about how it works in a very practical way, okay? God has made us in His image and His likeness. You know, God is a tripartite God. He's made of three parts, right? Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, right? When He created us, He made us tripartite as well. As I mentioned, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. That is how we have been made. Now, look at this scripture, Doug, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the three parts of man in this scripture? The three parts of every human being: spirit, soul, and body. Now, we have probably talked about how when God breathed into man, he became a living being. He breathed the Spirit of God into man, and we received life. And He gave us a soul, a mind, to be able to receive a flow that God intended initially when man was right with Him. When they walked in the garden before sin entered, God, who is Spirit, was able to directly speak to the spirit of man, spirit to spirit. And the way it works is that the Spirit that is within us is able then to flow that inspiration into our soul. And then the soul is able to process it, to understand it, and we're able to think, reason, choose, make decisions. That's how it was supposed to be. But when sin entered, then it says the spirit of man was deadened, right? And that simply is a way of helping us understand that communication pipeline that was intended was now severed. It was not able to flow the way that God intended. Do you see that? Now, here's what happens when man, woman, humans are cut off from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Your makeup is made to actually receive stimulus and act upon it, right? You know, God gave every one of us needs in our spirit, soul, and body that He knew He could provide for and meet in a healthy way. Human needs, right? And whenever the enemy saw how man was created, human beings were created, the enemy immediately understood how to exploit what he thought was the weaknesses of human beings by looking at the needs that God had created us with. And then what the enemy does is he comes up with ways to tell us this is how to meet your needs. And what happens is it's trying to meet needs in an unhealthy way. And so we plug all kind of stuff into, you know, ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, to try to meet those God-given needs, because the enemy is trying to exploit that need, right? And so when man human beings, I got to stop saying man, human beings were cut off from the flow of the Holy Spirit, then what happened was we became a sensually driven person. Now, I'm not talking just about sex, although that's part of it too, but I'm talking about that when we desire stimulus and we're not getting it from the Spirit of God, we will seek it. And we're seeking it through our senses. So man became then governed, led, directed by senses instead of by the Spirit of God. And then after a while, you know, in receiving that, what happens is our soul becomes darkened. And it's a bad state of affairs. Amen? That's really what was going on in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is the story of people being led other than by the Holy Spirit, right? Now, when you are born again, what part of you is born again? Your spirit, that's right. So inside of you, your spirit is cleansed, your spirit is renewed. And that's a wonderful thing because then the Holy Spirit can come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, then that pipeline is enabled once again. That flow is enabled. But the problem still exists in here because you're still not used to processing it, right? And you still got a lot of stinking thinking, old patterns of thought that are still there, that are still clouding all of your reasoning. Let's talk about that for just a moment before we go on. So, Check it out. Your body has a voice, so to speak. Your soul has a voice and your spirit has a voice. Now, by voice, I mean an impact on your mind. Now, you know your body, your body's voice is called feelings, right? Yeah, you feel hungry, you feel sleepy, you know, you feel other things. This is like the voice, if you understand my reference, of your body. And mostly they're responses to human needs, physical needs. So when God made us, he allowed us to experience the joy and the pleasure of having our physical needs even met in a very pleasurable way. Amen? I mean, think about how wonderful it was walking in the garden and seeing this pristine paradise and every beautiful fruit tree you could ever imagine, you know, there for the taking, for your enjoyment, and every bite was sweeter than the one before. And all of it was good, as God had said. All of it was good. Man, human beings were made to be able to receive that wonderful pleasure of enjoying God's creation and all that he made for us, right? Yeah. And so the body's voice wasn't bad until sin entered. You know, that was just the response to the needs, and you could eat freely of that which you were given by God. But then when sin entered, and what you were really listening to is that voice, more than any other voice, you know, saying, feed me, right? Feed me. And then you really, when you're led only by that, you're going to overindulge, aren't you? And the enemy is right there to always promote that in every way. I don't have to get X-rated to tell you in every way, right? Sure. Your soul has a voice as well. It's called reasoning. Your soul's voice is called reasoning. In the book of Jude, you find this interesting passage of scripture that says that when you get deadened by sin, you become like an unreasoning animal, right? Led by instincts, not by the Spirit of God. You human beings were given the ability to reason more than anything else in all of creation. And that's part of what we talked about last week with the whole thing about choosing to love. Reasoning is a part of that. Reasoning is a human characteristic. We think through issues. We decide then based upon our reasoning, but we know the truth. Our reasoning has been clouded by sin, right? Our reasoning has been clouded by sin. Look at people, for example, that suffer from addictions, right? You know, addictions are so prominent in our world today. So many people are under the influence of addiction. And I want to tell you, addiction clouds your reasoning. You know, to the point where you'll do anything to get what you think you need, right? That's why our world has become so dangerous. It really has. Even, you know, aside from the story of terrorism, which is related to this, but even before the threat of terrorism was present in America, the drug culture and alcohol culture of America had already become such a threat that our schools and neighborhoods were no longer safe. Why? Because we all have understood people will do anything under that influence, right? In order to get that, you know, they'll do crazy, crazy things. Why? Because their reasoning is completely impaired, clouded, to say the least. Reasoning is influenced to the point where you can talk yourself into almost anything, right? To get what you think you need. And you know you can do that even if you're not under the influence of drugs. You can kind of talk yourself into about anything to get what you want. Huh? When we decide to let that dominate, then, we're in a bad way. But Christians do that. The book of Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths," right? Our understanding and reasoning can be clouded, hindering us from embracing the truth about God. So Solomon says, here's the answer. In all your ways, acknowledge God. You can have your path directed by God when you acknowledge God in all your ways. What does that mean, though, in practical terms? It means when all your patterns of thoughts become godly, inspired, influenced by God. If your habits are acknowledging God, you will be directed by God. How many know that habits themselves are not a bad thing? You can sure have good habits, right? So when you start, you know, developing good habits to replace the old bad ones, it's a good thing. You start getting into a habit of waking up in the morning and praying, taking time to pray. How many know that's a good thing? You start getting into a habit of reading God's word, making it a part of your daily routine. You know, we do other things because we know the benefit of good habits. Working out, for example. You know, I feel really weird, Kim will tell you now, when I don't work out. It's like it has become a habit because it has been repeated so often that when I don't, I feel out of sorts. You know what I mean? Well, that's a good habit. That's fine. But how much better it is when we get into a habit of talking to God, a habit of reading His Word. And you see, when this happens, then we begin to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Last week I told you how God spoke to me using Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Well, I'm going to read that to you again, and I'm going to talk to you about that bodies as living sacrifices just for a moment. Romans 12. And 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual act of worship, your reasonable service. Do not conform," the next verse says, "any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will." Then you will be able to. As your mind is renewed, then that flow You got the Holy Spirit. That flow begins now to register into a mind that can process what God is telling you. And what a good place that is. The voice of your spirit, by the way, is called your conscience, right? You remember that old Disney film that had, it was Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket, you know, that jumped up and he used to sing the song, "Always Let Your Conscience Be Your Guide." Yeah? Remember that? Some of you do. Here's the thing. Before you're saved, your conscience can also be seared or deadened, right? Or corrupted. So before you're saved, your conscience isn't always the best guide. Because what happens is just like calluses on your hands, you know, from repeated work, when you're doing the wrong thing over and over again, your conscience becomes calloused. And all that simply means is that you feel less and less the conviction of doing wrong. That's what happens, right? It's not rocket science to understand that. So listen to this. When the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, the Holy Spirit actually joins together with your conscience, and the lights go on. Another way to say it, maybe that you'll grab it this morning, is when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like a steroid for your conscience. How's that? Does that work for you guys? Right? Steroid? I know we're programmed to understand that steroids aren't always good, right? But in hospice care, you know, sometimes when a person gets so sick that their body isn't able to fight that infection, they give them a steroid in order to help that body fight infection, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is a steroid for your conscience in a good way. And that the Holy Spirit wants to join with your conscience, right? And take away the calluses and make you sensitive once again. You see? See, this is the whole thing about this is the way walk in it. When you are really super sensitive to the Holy Spirit, what happens is when you go to do wrong, buddy, the conviction is so strong that you'll know it, huh? You know what I mean? You'll know it. You'll know when it's wrong. And if you've kind of trained yourself to be in tune with that, as soon as you feel that strong conviction, buddy, you don't do what it is you're about to do, right? You know all this. Then how come that we don't always follow that leading and guidance and that conviction? How come that if we know this and we understand all this, that we're not being led and directed and guided more by God's Spirit? Why? It's because we got so much other junk in our trunk, right? We got so much else going on up here, so many needs and wants and desires and passions that, well, quite frankly, aren't from God. We become conflicted people. And as a result of it, even Holy Spirit-filled Christians aren't following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're following really, well, what they want to do, right? A seared conscience. You know, you've heard of the unpardonable sin in Scripture, right? The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you might have heard me say before what really that is all about. It is when you have done the wrong thing so much over and over and over again that you have literally deadened that conscience, where you can no longer feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, when you can't feel God's Spirit convicting you, you're done. You're dead meat, so to speak. You know, because listen, it is that conviction that leads us to sorrow and repentance, right? So without it, we're done. Now with it, though, with being in tune with God's Spirit, with the conviction that comes when we are Holy Spirit filled, when we begin to realize that God is joining with our conscience and He's trying to guide us and trying to lead us, we start to become in tune with His leading and guidance in our lives. We start to listen to that conviction, realizing that it's God's preferred way of leading and guiding us. Because a conviction, by the way, doesn't have to be always negative. Huh? The scriptures tell us that with the Holy Spirit's help, the peace of God can rule in our heart. Peace can be a strong conviction. Amen? Umpire. When I was coaching Little League, it became painfully obvious that it didn't matter whether I agreed with the call or not. If the umpire said strike, it was a strike. If the umpire said out, he was out, right? Well, in the scriptures, it says that the peace of God can act like an umpire in your life. I mean, that's certainly a translation, but it really is what it means to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and His convictions in a positive way. Whenever you are praying, looking for guidance, seeking God's inspiration, and you're coming to a decision and you feel an overwhelming peace about it, that's a positive conviction. And when you're in tune with God's Spirit, you can be led this way when you have a complete peace about what it is that you're asking, seeking. But have you noticed that inward witness of God's Spirit is more like a whisper than a shout? Have you noticed that? And many pastors will read to you the Old Testament scripture where Isaiah was in the cave, and it was only through the gentle whisper that he recognized the voice of the Lord. But the New Testament is replete with examples of the same thing, how God leads and guides you, but not with this booming voice, but with the equivalent of a gentle whisper, a thought that enters your mind that allows you to say, wait a minute, where did that thought come from? I don't believe it came from simply my body. I don't believe it's being originated by my soul, but I believe that God is trying to inspire me, lead me, and guide me. Now the challenge is, are you right? Is it God? This is why God made it so. His inspiration was so clear to the authors of this book that whenever you are trying to judge, discern the inspiration of God, and you know this word, and you can find in this word a confirmation of the way you're being led, then peace enters your heart. For God does not inspire one way and then a different way for you. He won't lead you contrary to this word, right? To know God's word. Now I know that, listen, come on, another minute. You know that reading God's word is a good thing. And you may also feel like, well, sometimes I'm not in the mood, or sometimes it's just overwhelming. Sometimes I don't know where to start. Or you may even think, I don't know how to read this. But the author of this book is living inside of you. The author of this book who inspired these scriptures is in you, in your spirit, enabling you to receive from him direction and guidance and confirmation. He won't lead you into something that is contrary to this word. That's why, you know, listen, if there were a shortcut, a magic pill I could give you, I'd give it to you. I would love to do that. But there's no replacement for getting into this and getting it into you. There's no replacement for that. Why? Because it becomes then that wonderful ruler to judge everything that you are receiving and believing that you're receiving from the Holy Spirit. Now, finally, I got to tell you, it is the most exciting thing in the world to be led and guided by God's Spirit. I mean to tell you, I just want to paint a picture that and leave you with it this morning. I was reading one time a story, and I was telling this in Bible study the other day, about a man who was coming home from Bible study, and he stopped at the grocery store to get things that he needed in his house. And as he left the grocery store, instead of getting back on the highway, the bypass it was, to go to his house, he really felt this thought that he needed to go through town, which it wasn't normally his way to travel. But you know what? He was feeling so strongly that that was what he had to do. This was a Christian man that kind of understood, okay, this thought, I don't know where this thought's coming from. It might be God. It might be God. And he was willing, so he turned and went home via the side streets of his town. When he got to his stop sign, he began to pull out, and he felt such a strong thought, stop now and pull off. So strongly that he did. And then the next thoughts really blew him away. He said, I was really sitting there wondering what the heck I'm doing here. When I begin to have these thoughts, I need to take these groceries to this house I'm in front of. And he wrestled with it. You know what I mean? He wrestled with it. What's going on here? Why are these thoughts coming? It's so strong. But that man was a Christian who, you know, he knew that God can lead this way. And he pulled all those bags out of his back seat and up to the porch of the house, put them on the porch and rang the doorbell. A woman opened the door, said, who are you? And the guy said, you don't know me, but I really just felt like I needed to drop these groceries off for you. The woman looked up at the man and began to bawl hysterically. You know why? Because that very woman was praying all day, how, Lord, am I going to have enough food for my family for the rest of the month? No more money. And many more days until money comes. Now, do you believe that God works that way? Isn't it awesome to be used like that? Don't you want it? Don't you want to be so in tune with God's Spirit that that kind of stuff is a daily routine for you? It can be. We have to learn to expect it, church, to seek it, to want it, to be led and guided by God's Spirit. There's so much that He wants to do in you and through you. So much that He can if you become a willing vessel, sensitive. Obedient. Obedience is the key, isn't it? What would it have hurt if that man would have been wrong? Not too much, huh? Some lady would have got some extra groceries. But what a powerful, powerful thing when he realized he was right in hearing the voice of God. That woman's life was changed. His life was changed. And that's just a minor story compared to millions of others that go on all the time among Christians who are in tune with God's Spirit. Let's be that church, huh? Let's seek for this. Let's expect it. Let's ask God to to help us line up with Him. Line up with Him. Line up. Recognizing, yes, we got a lot of other stuff going on, but knowing it is part of the battle. Knowing that, yeah, your flesh is going to lead you. Yeah, your old reasoning is going to lead you, but so is God's Spirit. And being able to discern it, learn it, and walk in it. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for Your desire for us to seek You in this way, to be led. You said, Lord God, that the sons of God are led by Your Spirit. You said that because that's what You have designed us to be. Sons and daughters that hear from You and act upon that inspiration are Your representatives in this world today. Lord, even in things like this election that we're about to go into, Lord, we can be led by our feelings. We can be led by selfish desires, or we could be led by Your Spirit. Lord God, we see even in that that so many people just, well, they're being led by what they want to hear, what they want selfishly, instead of being led by You. We want to be people, Lord God, that truly hear Your voice and can sort through the other things that are coming into our minds and know when it's Your voice, know when we're led and directed by You. So help us, Lord. Fill us anew with Your Spirit. Let the lights come on again. And help us, Father, to just to receive from Your Word the confirmations that we need to make such good decisions in our life, that our families are blessed, our children are blessed, our lives are blessed, and others are blessed. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. That's who we are, Lord God. Let's live up to it. Help us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.